Can you hear me?
Yes.
Am I on? Good. Good morning, church. This morning I'm going to speak about grace. It wasn't originally what I was going to speak on, but I sort of journeyed with what I was going to speak on, and eventually it came out to be the overarching theme of what I'm going to share is on grace. But I really, really, my remit and what I wanted to share was, again, to just encourage the church. You've heard me say this many times, to make the most of the season. Christmas is coming up. It's a great opportunity to reach out to our friends, our neighbours, our family, and share the gospel, share the good news, share grace. And I thought, you know, I can do that again. I can give a rousing appeal. Let's make the most of the season, and that would be good. But you know, it needs to come from an understanding of grace. That's the overarching thing. When we understand grace, we can extend grace. And actually, when I look around the church, I don't really need to do much. There's some amazing, well, all of you are amazing, but there's amazing things happening in this church, which is displaying grace. Like, I'm just like amazed at John and Jenny, who are going to serve on Christmas Day. Yeah. Like Christmas Day, which we have set up to be this amazingly sort of sacred thing that, oh, don't impinge on my Christmas Day, and it's all got to be perfect, and everything hinges on Christmas Day, and they're giving up their Christmas Day to serve others. And, you know, our home group yesterday gave up a Saturday to go into Fran's care home and sort of share a message of Christmas with the people there. But loads, I can't name everyone, but, you know, I don't need to do a huge lot. And I started to reflect, I was thinking, all these amazing things happening on church, this must be because of my excellent leadership in outreach. No. Then I thought, well, maybe it's my excellent preach. Maybe everyone remembers that one preach I once did about omelets. Yeah, maybe it was that. But actually, you know what? It's because we've got a church who have experienced grace. And because of that, it's not what I say or what I do. It's because we have a church who had encountered Jesus, experienced grace. And because of that, it's transforming. And it makes us transform that into the relationships we have, and we extend that grace out. So it's really important that we understand grace, because grace is so powerful. And I really believe that a church that understands grace will transform communities, because the world is desperate for grace. The world is desperate. I was reading BBC News just before I went to bed last night. I don't recommend it as a biblical principle, because it's a bit depressing. But God obviously wanted me to be drawn to something on the news page last night, just before I went to bed. And this wasn't part of my talk until last night. But I started reading, and I'm going to read the top six, I think, news stories from about 11 o'clock, 11:30 last night. So the breaking news was scores dead in Nigerian church collapse. The next one down was Istanbul blast leaves 13 dead. ISIS fighters re-enter the ancient Palmyra. I was turning my ringtone down at the same time as screenshotting. But this was about a teenager charged with murdering two people. A four-year-old dies in a car crash. Exeter teenager found dead in hotel. And then I scrolled down, and I saw a couple buys house for asylum seekers. Yes. Did anyone see this story?
Yes.
And I was thinking, you know, the world is desperate for grace. We've got all these news stories. And I don't know anything about this couple, really. I watched a 43-second odd video on there where they're touring around this house. And they've basically used up their savings to buy a house for asylum seekers in Birmingham. I don't know what church denomination they're from or what church or whatever, but within all these stories where the world is desperate for grace, on the front of a BBC News is a story about Christians who are extending the grace they've received out into the world, and that makes BBC News. You know, a church that understands grace, Christians who really, really get grace, transform communities. And it's not anything I can say or encourage. Yeah, I can, but it'll be, you know, you might go away inspired temporarily, but, you know, we really want to see change. It will come from a correct understanding of grace. So I want to talk about grace, and I'm not an expert on grace. I feel I've got a lot of experience in receiving grace, but I'm not. I just want to give a simple message, really, just in the time that I have, a little bit from sort of my journey over the last couple of years, and I've really felt that God has been teaching me a lot about grace, and I want to share that with you because I've had some times that I've found difficult, and I'm thinking, well, even if it is just me, then it's an opportunity for me to share with you, and then you can keep me in your prayers. But maybe it's not just me. Maybe other people also struggle with understanding grace. Because I think, because grace is so powerful, the enemy wants to distort it. And he wants us to get tangled up in a misrepresentation of what grace truly is. And I just want to share really and speak truth. Let's hear truth. Let's get a firm understanding of what grace is. And let's pray for one another. So, you know, about for those of you who don't know, I've started a new job. I've left the fire service and I now work for an interfaith charity, which is an amazing job. I'm really, really enjoying it. It was a big step to take, but I'm really, really enjoying it. I work with a charity that are based in London but looking to expand into Birmingham. And our charity's main objectives are to build understanding and genuine relationships between people of different faiths and beliefs. That's the main objective. And I particularly work in schools, delivering workshops to young people to build tolerance, to break down misconceptions and stereotypes. And the big part of our methodology of what we believe as an organisation is that encounter is key to building relationships. You can learn a lot about stuff in textbooks, but encounter is the key. When people meet people and start to share each other's stories, that's where real relationship begins. And I'm really, really blessed with this job. Part of one of the things that we do is we take people of different faith beliefs and non-faith and give a platform for them to share their stories in schools. So we have a number of volunteers from a load of different faith backgrounds. Last week I was having coffee with a humanist this is my job now. I get to meet all these people of different faith and belief backgrounds. And people go in and they share their story for 5 minutes in front of his children. And the children get to ask them questions. And obviously from my perspective, I get to write my story. And it's harder than you think. I sat down and I was like, right, I'm going to need to write my story. I've got 5 minutes to get across my story, my journey, my Christian faith means to me and that journey. And as I wrote it down, I was writing, there was a common theme, grace, 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 grace. It was all about grace. And I now get this opportunity to share in school about grace, about what Christ has done for me, you know, because grace is, it's unmerited favor. It's not anything that I've done. It's not anything I can achieve. It's not about me. It's unmerited favor. That's what grace is. It's unmerited. It's undeserved. But we have such a loving God. He's given us that grace. And that's what, as I was writing down my story, and like I start from being a baby, wasn't much, that moved on quick, up to like giving my first commitment at 7 years old, and then journeying through troubled teenage years, and just all throughout, grace, 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 grace. And I thought, you know, it's so important that we have a correct understanding of grace. You know, Paul says in Ephesians that salvation is through Jesus Christ, so that no one can boast. It's not about us, it's about him. We need to understand that. I shared my story in school, and Muslim boy asked me about grace. He wanted to understand more about grace. And because he was absolutely just, he was just almost overwhelmed and so puzzled by his concept of grace. He was just amazed. And he said to me, I'm trying to get my head around this unconditional love. I'm trying to get my head around this idea of grace, because this isn't a concept that I'm familiar with. And he said to me, he said, you are so privileged. And I thought, yeah, you're right, that's it. And I think, Marilyn, you said privileged when you were praying. And I thought, yes, it's a he says, such a privilege to be a Christian, he said to me. And, you know, this is amazing sort of conversations that I get to have. But, you know, it is a privilege. And, you know, that privilege of grace is what drives the transformation in us. It's not being tied to the law or our own achievements or our own efforts. It's understanding that privilege that brings the transformation about. But there's a trap that we can fall into, because grace should bring us to awe. That we should be, like, the power of grace should make us have awe. Wow! Wow! But the enemy likes to distort it, and I've journeyed this over the last couple of years. I left from going on shifts to having a 9-to-5 office job, but it was more like 6 a.m. till 8 p.m. long hours. And it, like, I had to spend 8 years like shifts, like 4 days on, 4 days off, and when 2 of my days on were night shifts, that's really 6 days off and 2 days on. And even when I was at work, I read the Bible, I'd pray, I'd be in the gym listening to worship music. Like, I had pretty cushy, really. Yeah, occasionally we had to go to fires and stuff. But, you know, I had time to spend, honestly, like, have you seen, like, the Unlocking the Bible by David Paul's, like, this thick? And, like, I absolutely consumed that, because I had so much time. I was in the Word. I was spending time with God. I spent so much time here at the Bridge in my role as outreach pastor. I felt really connected in. And then everything changed, because I lost all of that time. Because all of a sudden, I didn't have 4 days off. My working day, I couldn't just, like, read the Word. I had meetings to go to, stuff like that. I had a proper job, yeah. And I would try on the bus, because I really would have tried to sort of get it back to, get because I really felt in a mess. Because I just felt like my whole sort of routine was disruptive. So I tried on the bus to read the Bible, listen to podcasts, worshiping, praying. And I just was exhausted, and I really, really struggled. And this is, like, there's sort of, I think there's two ends to misunderstanding of grace, and I think they bombard, like, they sort of send you either way. And I was at this end over here, where I thought my acceptance of God's, what he thought of me was based on what I did and how much time I spent with him. So imagine going from all this time of spending with God to having none. All of a sudden, I felt I wasn't accepted. And the enemy will use that. He will say, you know, you're not giving God as much time as you was. He doesn't think the same as he used to think about you. But, you know, none of that time, yeah, it was beneficial to me in growing more Christ-like, but it didn't change God's thoughts about me. Amen. God's thoughts stayed the same. But I was in this place where I just felt not worthy. I just felt, oh, I've got to work harder. I got into that cycle of I've got to work harder. Whereas actually, you know, grace should just make us, grace should have been there to make me feel in awe. It's this idea of awe, wow, I don't have all this time. But actually, it's not about me, it's about God. And it's that understanding which transforms, not trying to work harder at it. But what happens is, when you get into this point, you go to the other end then, which is unworthy of God's grace. So that end was really about, I need to work harder. I need to find more time. I need to do more. I need to earn God's favor. incorrect understanding of grace. But it throws you onto this end, which makes you feel unworthy. And when you make mistakes, yeah, I make mistakes, yeah, I mess up, I'm not perfect. And when you're in that place, you feel unworthy. And I was coming along like a couple of years ago, and it had been a journey, really. But I just felt unworthy. So I'd turn up on a Sunday morning, and I'd think, well, because of all that stuff, not being able to spend as much time with God, I'm meant to be a church leader. I can't pray for anyone. God's not going to hear my prayers. I'm not going to be of any worth, really, to my prayers because I've not given him the time. And all of a sudden, then you just go back. You think, right, I need to get out of here, so I need to work harder. I need to work even harder, even harder. And then you think, oh, I'm not. It's just crushing me. I'm exhausted. And you go back down here, and you turn up to another service or a leadership meeting, and you think, well, nothing I'm going to say is really going to have any impact because I'm not in the right place to share anything. And when someone asks to be prayed for, you think, oh, I'll stand back because God's not going to listen to my prayers because I'm not worthy. It's not, and it's just a perpetual cycle, which I've escaped from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because God has journeyed me to a correct understanding of grace. You see, I read from Titus 2. And Paul says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Good news. Grace of God has come for all people. But then he says, this grace is training us. See, we think, I don't know, I got this idea that like as soon as I've experienced this grace, right, that's it now. Yeah, you've got the grace, but it's like a one-off thing. Now you've got to be perfect. Now it's got to just completely transform you, and that's it. It's like a works-based idea of grace. I was really stuck in. But you know, grace is there to transform us. So yes, we mess up, we make mistakes, we don't spend as much time as maybe we should. But those things, the enemy will tell us give us guilt. God will tell us that we're still accepted and we're still loved. And it's with that comes the training, because it develops more awe. Grace actually becomes, and Paul talks about this in Romans, grace becomes even more abound. Grace abounds even more when we get that correct understanding of God's love for us. Because he goes and say, grace trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. You see, it's not by us achieving those things or working at those things to try and add. It's because the grace transforms us to want to. It's a complete backwards. When we start from these points here, we don't get anywhere. When we start by understanding unmerited favor, that brings us into a place of awe. It brings us into a place of, wow, I wanna serve this God. I wanna serve him. It will transform our lives, and that extends grace out to other people then. And because I was chatting to Ben about this, and we were sort of saying, and I think we were sort of saying, yeah, we need to find a middle ground between these two, and that's right, because we need to be spending time with God. We need, our lives do need to look different, and we need to find a middle ground. But actually, no, we don't need to find any middle ground. There's no middle ground to two wrongs. You can't find a middle ground between two things which are fundamentally not what grace are. We need to find the real meaning of grace, and that's the unmerited favor of God. I am not worthy, but God loves me anyway, and he says that I am worthy. He has transformed me through Christ, not on my own strengths, but through him. That's where we have to begin. And we have to, it's a training, as Titus, we're told in Titus, it's a training, it's a process that we have to continue to go through, because we can't just expect that all of a sudden everything's going to change. We have to continue to go back to the cross. And I don't think I don't go back to the cross enough. Sometimes I just try and journey on. And that's where we fall into these places as well. We need to go back to the cross, understanding unmerited favor, understanding who we were and now what we are, because that brings the power of grace. And you know, when we understand this, it leads to us exercising radical grace. You see, I can tell you make the most of the seasons, do all these things, that's great. But you know, it's an understanding of grace that we have to get to, a real understanding of what Jesus has done for us. You know, whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We need to come back to the cross. You know, Christmas is celebrated because of the greatest gift that could ever be given to us, a gift, a free gift that we didn't have to earn. And I think it's really poignant, the prayer that Paul prays in Ephesians 3, because this is clearly something which is, Paul is so keen in this prayer at the end of Ephesians 3 to make sure the church understands God's love. And I think he prayed that because he knows that the enemy wants to distort God's love. He wants to distort this message and this idea of grace. And, you know, I want to pray this over the church. And I want us to have an opportunity at the end as well to respond to this, because I don't ever want to fall in these areas again where I'm trying to earn my salvation, or I feel unworthy. I want to remain in awe of God's grace. And we need to encourage each other, and we need to journey with each other. And we need to understand God's love. When I get to share my whole story in school, is sharing God's unconditional love and his grace that's on me. And people are amazed by that. People are amazed at this idea, who don't understand grace or have not heard of grace before. They're blown away by that. But as a church, we have to understand it. We have to get it. And we have to understand God's love for us. I'm going to pray what Paul prayed for the church in Ephesians. I'm just going to pray it over us, because I think we need to keep going back to this. Paul says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Lord, will you bring us to a point of awe of your love for us? Jesus, we're tired of just of trying to work. Lord, we're sorry for where we have made grace not what it is. Lord, bring us back to a firm understanding. Lord, I want to know your love, because it's your love that brings transformation. Jesus, show us your love. Bring us to that point of awe. In Jesus' name, amen.